16, going through to verse 41. And it's on page 1022 if you've got Bibles on your chairs. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in 2 from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Younger and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there.
Thanks, Samantha. As Ian said earlier, it's wonderful to have the kids with us this morning. It's great to have you. As Ian said, the space is set up out there with creches set up, so you're welcome to stay in here if you're happy, but also if you want to stretch your legs, you're welcome, parents, to take your kids through to the creche. That's fine too. Well, good morning. It's really, really good to be together, and can I give an especially warm welcome to you if it's your first time to Grace Church Kidlington today. It's great to have you. Perhaps this is your first time with us. Perhaps this is your first time in a Christian church, full stop. You're so welcome. We're really glad you can be with us. So my name's Luke. I'm one of the leaders of Grace Church Kidlington. And usually when we're together on a Sunday, we spend time reading the Bible together. And then we'll spend a bit of time looking at it in more depth and thinking about, well, what does this mean? And also, what does this mean for us today, day to day? Now, the Bible says that it's not a normal book. Now, we know that, don't we? For one thing, if you've got it on your lap, it's massive. It's an enormous book. But the Bible actually says that it's God's book. It's all about him. It's even written by God. These are his words that we're reading on the page. That's amazing, isn't it? So why don't we begin our time together now by asking for his help to understand the Bible. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you that it's no accident that we're here. Thank you that you care about every single one of us here this morning. And as we read your words, help us to hear your voice. Please teach us about your Son, Jesus Christ. Please open our eyes to see how wonderful he truly is. In Jesus' name, amen. So as Ian said earlier, today is Palm Sunday. So it's the week before Easter Sunday. And we remember on Palm Sunday usually that Jesus of Nazareth, the amazing teacher who did incredible miracles, he arrived in Jerusalem. And as he arrived, the crowds laid their coats on the ground in front of him. And they got palm branches and they threw them on the ground for him to walk on. That's why we call it Palm Sunday. And he rode into Jerusalem in triumph on a donkey. Has anyone here ever ridden a donkey before? A few people. I've ridden a donkey just once before when I was younger. It was painfully slow. Painfully slow. I found out later that the donkey was called Ferrari. Unbelievable. But Jesus rode on a donkey into Jerusalem. And the crowds had cheered for him. They had welcomed him. And they cried out, Hosanna, Hosanna. Welcome to the king, basically. They cheered for him like you would cheer for a king riding triumphantly in, victoriously. They welcomed him. But within a week, everything had changed. Over the 3 years that Jesus spent traveling around and teaching and doing incredible things, healing people, casting demons, even giving life to people who were dead. Over those 3 years, Jesus had made enemies who hated him. Jesus claimed to be the promised king that the whole world is waiting for. He'd gone even further and he'd claimed to be God himself. And so the religious leaders in Jerusalem believed that Jesus deserved to die. He needed to go. Now, he was given an unfair trial. We can read about this in the Bible. He was handed over to the Romans and to satisfy an angry crowd. Jesus was taken away to be executed. And Mark records, as we've just read, what happened next. So if you want to, you can keep the Bible open in front of you. You can find that page again and follow along as I read. So we read from verse 16 again. And we can read what they did to Jesus. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. they put a purple robe on him and twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. Isn't it horrible? Isn't it really hard to read? The way that they mock him and the way that they physically hurt him, isn't it awful? And we understand that he must have been so hurt, so battered, and so exhausted that he couldn't carry his cross. Look at verse 21. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh. That's like an ancient form of painkillers. But he didn't take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. Did you notice that awful detail? That Jesus is stretched out, he's nailed to a wooden cross and lifted high off the ground, naked and humiliated in front of everyone. And they put a sign on it, again, mocking him, saying, "The King of the Jews. Doesn't he look impressive?" Naked and humiliated on the cross. Mark tells us in verses 27 to 32 that those passing by looked at him and pointed at him and hurled insults at him, basically saying, "Look, you claim to be the king? Come down from the cross then. You claim to be God? You claim to be all powerful? Come on then, come down from the cross. You saved others? Save yourself." It says in verse 33 that darkness came over the whole land. Now, I expect many of you will have experienced a solar eclipse or something before, but this is different, isn't it? It didn't go dark for just a few moments. It went dark for 3 hours. Can you imagine that? During the middle of the day, darkness. And from the cross, Jesus cries out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? Why have you abandoned me?" Because that is exactly what happened when Jesus was on the cross. When Jesus was dying, he was well and truly abandoned. Let's look at a couple more interesting details. Verse 27 says that with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. What's all that about? Well, in the Jewish temple, there was an enormous curtain reaching from, the temple was a massive building, and this curtain reached from the ceiling to the floor. An enormous, thick curtain. And the temple was where God lived, where he dwelt among his people, you could say. God's dwelling place on earth. And yet there was this thick barrier between the people and God. You can't just walk through that curtain into God's presence. And yet Mark says that the moment Jesus died, that enormous curtain, the temple, ripped in two from top to bottom. Can you imagine seeing that? Can you imagine what sound would a curtain that's so thick make as it's being ripped from top to bottom? And the Roman centurion, the soldier, standing there listening to Jesus cry out on the cross, looking around him at the dark sky, seeing how Jesus died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Verse 40 says that many of the women who had looked after Jesus were there, watching from a distance. How hard, how awful that must have been for them. Now, you might be very familiar with this story. Or perhaps you've never heard it before. I think we can all agree that it's really, really sad. It's a really sad end to Jesus' life. But what if I told you that Jesus had the opportunity to escape this awful experience, but he didn't. He had the opportunity to defend himself, but he didn't. Jesus had the opportunity to avoid this horrible, horrible death, but he didn't. Instead, in the events leading up to this story, all the evidence shows that Jesus chose this. He chose to die this way. Isn't that incredible? We saw in verses 30 to 32 that people shouted to him on the cross, "If you really are the king, then come on down from that cross." Well, if everything else that Mark wrote was true, that Jesus healed the deaf and the blind, and he could calm the storm with just a word, and could feed thousands of people with just a few loaves of bread, if he could give life to dead people, surely Jesus could have come down from the cross. Jesus chose to die. The big question is, why? Well, we need to start at the very beginning to answer that question. Because the Bible says that God made everything. Out of the love in his heart, he made this world and he made people. Made you and me. God didn't need to. He didn't need us. Need anything. But out of everything he'd made, he made human beings to be different. To be like him. To know him. He made us to love him and to enjoy him. He made us to show to the rest of the world what God is like. That's what he made us for. Now, can you imagine a world for a minute where there is no sadness and there's no pain and there's no sickness and there's no injustice? And there's no loneliness, and there's no brokenness. Can you imagine a world with no death? That's what it was like once, the Bible says. And we were made to enjoy that life and to enjoy eternal life with God forever. That'd be wonderful. Don't we all want a world like that? What went wrong? The Bible tells us that though God is our creator and our king, even though he made us and he loves us, we have all rejected God. The human race, all of us collectively, we've turned our backs on God. That is true of all of us, whoever we are. And the Bible has a special word for our problem, for our collective problem. And that word is sin. Now, sin is not simply doing something naughty. Sin is something deep, something inside all of us. And it affects what we do and what we think and how we feel. A helpful way to think about sin is to take those three letters, S-I-N. S for shove off God. I'm in charge. N, not you. And that is how all of us have treated God, the Bible says. All of us have lived our lives turning our backs on the one who loved us. And we've said, "Look, I don't love you. I don't want you. You're not in charge. I'm in charge. I know what is good and what is evil. Do you want to know why the world around us is so broken? Do you want to know why we are so broken? Well, in a word, the answer is sin. Sin. We have cast aside the person who made us and who loved us, God. Now, the Bible says that God will not turn a blind eye to evil. He will not simply ignore sin. And now that is a really good thing, that God does not turn a blind eye to evil, to sin. But it's also a devastating thing. It's devastating because you and I, the Bible says, we deserve to perish. We deserve to be condemned for how we've rejected God as king. We deserve to be condemned in the way that a judge would condemn someone in court who's guilty. But now listen to these words that Jesus said, because this is why Jesus came. You might have heard these words before from the Bible, but this is what Jesus says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that's Jesus, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God so loved the world that he sent his only son so that we wouldn't perish, so that we wouldn't be condemned, but instead have eternal life. So that is why Jesus came. Jesus came to save the world and to save us, to save you. Sitting here this morning, it's the most wonderful news in the world. When Jesus allowed himself to be crucified, he was willingly sacrificing his own life. Even though we've sinned, even though we have rejected God, of his love for us, Jesus chose to take the blame, to sacrifice himself in our place. But think about those words that we just read. When the soldiers put a purple robe on him and they put a crown of thorns on his head, when they mocked him and they hit him again and again, and when they spit on him and when they stripped him and they nailed him to a wooden cross, when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was taking the blame. Taking the blame for us. He did it all for us. This might be not what you were expecting to hear about God. You might have ideas in your mind already about what God is like, if there is a God. But the Bible says that God doesn't want to condemn you. God doesn't want you to perish. He doesn't want to leave you as you are. God wants you, wants all of us, to have eternal life with him again. Do you remember in the story at the end, the enormous thick curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom? We have access to God now. There is no barrier between us and God now. Jesus has made a way, a restored relationship with the one who made us, who loves us. All that we have to do is to turn around, to stop rejecting God, and to turn around and just believe in Jesus, to turn around with open hands and receive his gift, forgiveness. You know why we're called Grace Church Kids? Is it because sometime in the past there was a lady called Grace? She decided to start a church, and so this is Grace Church Kiddington. Is that why? No. Grace is a Bible word, God's free gift. It's his incredible gift of mercy and forgiveness. We don't work for it. We don't earn it. As Ian said earlier, it's not about trying to earn it or trying to be a good person. God has given you his son, Jesus. And he's offering you forgiveness. At Grace Church, we are ordinary people who have simply decided to trust in Jesus and to receive his free gift of forgiveness. You can do that today. If you haven't done that already, can I encourage you to do that today? I would love to chat to anybody after the service who would love to know more about Jesus and what he offers us. Jesus didn't come to condemn you. Jesus came to save you, so that you can have a fresh start, so that I can have a fresh start. I became a Christian when I was in my teens. I have a very clear memory of being quite little and saying to my parents, who were Christians, I think I'd like to be a Christian. But looking back, I don't think I really understood what that meant. I wanted what my parents had. They were all about Jesus and loving Jesus and following Jesus. It sounded good to me, but I don't think I understood. And so it was only later when I went on a Christian summer camp, and all through the day there were games and sports and things like that, and each evening there'd be a talk from the Bible, very similar to what we've just had now. And I heard, not for the first time, but as if for the first time, that God loved me. That God loved me and that he sent Jesus to die for me. And I heard about how Jesus was stretched out and nailed to that wooden cross, and how he'd been spat on and how he'd been beaten and mocked and mistreated. And heard that he did it for me. And for the very first time in my life, hearing that and being just convicted in my heart, it hit me in a very deep and emotional way for the first time. And in an interesting twist, I didn't realize we were going to be singing it today, but the song that we sung before, King of Kings, Majesty, we sung that night when I became a Christian. In royal robes I don't deserve. That is how I felt, that God had offered me forgiveness and made me his precious child. It's like I'd been welcomed back, and he put a royal robe on me, and I was his dearly loved child. Now, even though Jesus died and was laid in a stone tomb, the story doesn't end there. And we'll be gathering together next Sunday morning on Easter Sunday to celebrate what happens next. The greatest day in history, the greatest day ever. It would be lovely if you could come back and join us next Sunday for Easter Sunday as we celebrate together. But for now, we're going to stand, if we're able, and sing our final song together, a song about Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for us. So when the music starts, we'll stand and we'll sing together.